In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I wanted to be with you in person, but actually I had to travel out of town, so we don't lose the series. Especially it's very relevant for this coming Sunday, which is the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. We wanted to continue our discussion in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, and we reached chapter 4, verse 25. We were talking about the Samaritan Woman and her conversation with the Lord. And last time we spoke about how she got really to know that he is different. He's like a prophet. And she asked him about worship, and Jesus spoke to her about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. If you remember the verses, when he said that the Father is seeking such to worship him, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We spoke about what is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And actually, from now on, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. I think she perceived in him that he is the Messiah. And she wanted just to double check. But she knew that this person is different. He's different than anyone. He's different than any prophet. No one knows what's in the heart but God himself. And she perceived that he is different. And that's why she asked this question. We knew that Christ is coming. And he will tell us all things. She started to get closer to him. He told her that I know you and know who you are. And she kind of told him that I know who you are too, that you are the Messiah. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he. The Samaritan woman, the sinful woman, she got to know Christ the Savior, Christ the Divine, Christ the Messiah, more than the scholars, more than the scribes and Pharisees, more than the people who had the prophecies and who knew everything about God and about the Messiah and when to be born and when he's coming. All of this, she knew that because she knew him by her spirit, not through her knowledge. She didn't have any knowledge, but she was thirsty also for him. He was thirsty for her, and she was thirsty for him. He told her, I am he. I am he actually is the name of God. Eloimi in Greek. Eloimi, the being who is the being. That's the word, the same word that God told Moses when he said, when people ask me who you are, what should I tell him? And that was it. That was the end of the conversation with the Samaritan woman. Something happened afterward. Actually, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. The woman left the pot, the water pot, that she wanted to go to the well to draw water with. He told her, if you want the grace of God, if you want the gift of God, go call your husband. What did she do? She went and she called the entire city. She told everyone, come to meet this man. Could this be the Christ? She is the one who went to fill water at noontime, the hardest time, in order to avoid people. Now she's going to people. Where is her shame? Where is her guilt? Where? How did this come? How did it happen? How can someone feel shameful and sinful go to all the city and preach them? It's amazing that the shame of sin after meeting Christ really goes away. And the most sinful person could stand and cry with the top of his lung saying, I was a sinner and I came back. It is the Lord. Could this be the Messiah? Could the one who saved me can save you? Could the one who changed my life change your life too? Anyone who repents and is washed by the blood of Christ is not ashamed of his sin anymore. The only person who is embarrassed, he's embarrassed of his sin. And if we are still embarrassed of our sins, maybe we didn't really repent on these sins. That's why some people, when they say, you know, I wanna confess, but it's very hard. I'm very embarrassed or ashamed. There is no shame when the sin meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though she's a sinful woman, everybody went out of the city, went far away to the well in order to see him at the preaching of this woman. This woman is called Sanfutin. She's very well known in the Greek Orthodox Church. She's one of the greatest missionaries. Have we ever heard that one of the apostles, one of the disciples, went out and brought an entire city to the Lord Jesus Christ? I've never seen that. We've never heard that. But this sinful woman did, and she gave us a great class of evangelism. She taught us what evangelism is. Evangelism is witness. This is what I have seen. Witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And evangelism is not theology. It's not going out there and saying that Jesus is the Son of God and you have to believe in that. Witnessing is I tell people what I have seen, what I have testified. I have seen this person. I have experienced him. He changed my life. Could this be Christ? He was Christ for me. Could this be Christ for you? He was the Savior for me. He saved my life. Could he save your life too? That's when someone asks, what did you do? I had the same problem. What I tried God. I tried church. And it worked. Maybe it will work for you. I don't know if it will work for you, but it worked for me. She didn't tell them, come and meet him. She didn't tell them, he is the Christ. He told me that. I promise you. She didn't tell them that. She didn't force her faith on them. Come and see. Come see. Come see. Our role will always be tell people, this is what the Lord did with me. Come and see. I can't tell you how honey tastes. You come and taste it. I can't tell you how this would feel. You come and experience it yourself. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. I will skip actually this next part, and I will jump a little bit forward to verse 39. So we'll jump a little bit to verse 39, and we'll go back to this after that. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." They transform it from knowledge into faith. They were ready more than the Jews. We spoke about the Samaritans and how far the Samaritans were from God, but somehow they were so ready to receive God and to receive his word. It was amazing. Jesus lived with the Jews for 33 years and they didn't believe. But the Samaritans, he met with them once. They urged him to stay with them for 2 days. They urged him to stay with them for 2 days. Even though eating and drinking with Samaritans is a defilement for any Jew. But Jesus sat with them and he entered their houses. And he became one of them. And actually, when you read the book of Acts, the first people who believed so fast at the preaching of Philip was Samaria. And they were all converted. They were all baptized. The Samaritans, the Gentiles, the people who are so far away, they accepted him, they wanted him. First, they heard. And no one can believe without hearing. How can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without a messenger? That's the importance of the missionaries. That's the importance of someone goes out and says, "Someone had told me everything that I did. Someone fixed my life. Could this be the Savior? Could this save you as he saved me?" You testify for yourself. You tell. You experience for yourself. I cannot tell you. Are we ready to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we transformed from the knowledge to the believing, to faith that he is the Savior of the world? Or it's still just a knowledge? I know him, he's Christ, I know the Bible. Different than when they taste the same way Samaritan woman said. A lot of people come to church, they're new to the church, and we ask them to serve or to become missionaries or to speak about Christ. No one can say, "I don't know much." It's not the knowledge that you need. It's the experience of faith. It's the experiencing God what you need in order to tell others. Preacher, evangelist, missionary is not someone who's good at preaching, but it's a good witness. Someone turned 180 degrees. Someone tasted God, tasted the love of God, and tells people, "Could this be Christ?" St. Paul says, "If I preach, I have no reward, because I have to, because it's a must, because I'm urged to do it, because people are lost. It's not a choice. It's not something that you choose to witness the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reaction to your life with him. It's the normal reaction to the new life that you have in Christ. Please be encouraged to witness. I don't want you to preach. And God doesn't want you to be his lawyer, to defend God. No, you're just a witness. You go tell people what you've seen, what you've experienced. A lot of times they don't need to hear what's in the Bible. They know what's in the Bible, and they will know what's in the Bible. But people need a living Bible. They need a living experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. they urged him to stay with them for 2 days. When the last time you urged God to stay with you? Stay with us. I want to eat more. I want to hear more. I want to get more. I'm never tired of hearing your word. It's not that the Bible study is too long or the church is too long. I can't have enough of you. Can we stay longer? Can you stay with me? Can I just leave everything and I stay with you? And I promise you, these 2 days that he spent with them, I'm sure that no one worked, no one did anything. They stayed with him. But the Lord is crying in the book of Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Who's going to tell people about that? Don't have a PhD in theology, that's okay. Don't have much knowledge of the Bible, it's okay. She didn't have much, but she had a zeal in her heart. And not only zeal for knowing God, but zeal for the salvation of others. She wants everyone to know him. She wants everyone to be close to him. That's when he is really in the heart. Samaritans, they said, now, not because of your words we believe, but we have seen. Now we have testified. We knew that he now is Christ, the Son of God. We ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know the difference? When they heard from the Samaritan woman or from people, that's exactly when you hear a sermon. But when you get the word of God from your quiet time, from your sitting with the Lord, that's when it's your own. That's when God speaks to you one-on-one. That's your own experience, your knowledge. And I promise you, it's not the sermons that teaches us. It's our time with the Lord one-on-one, listening to him and from him directly. That's when we transform from knowledge to experience. From knowledge, from knowing, from hearing to the experience. Everyone must experience himself and then become a witness. And then give up his life or say, he is the Savior of the world. I know that he is my Savior. He is everything to me. He is everything to me. But this came only after they have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. Okay, so let's go back a little bit in the verses and go from verse 33 to 38. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, when they come back and they saw him talking to the Samaritan woman, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Remember, the disciples went to bring food, and he was by himself. And he was by himself with the Samaritan woman, and they brought the food, and they came to him, said, teacher, eat. Because like he didn't have an appetite. Even though he was extremely exhausted and tired and wanted originally to drink. But he was so excited at the change of the Samaritan woman that he says, my food is to do the will of my Father, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My thirst and my food is for the salvation of souls. That what brings me happiness is not food, it's not materialistic things that brings me happiness, but it's the salvation of souls. It's not things, but it's the souls. It's people, it's his children, it's the relationship with this woman that made him as he ate, and there is nothing else to eat. He doesn't want to eat anything. He was thirsty for her and for the souls of people that she was bringing. Even though he's a full human and he is hungry. You know the time when you're so hungry, but at the same time you don't care for food? That's when you're so excited about something. I don't know how to explain it to you. Maybe you got something, you know, a new car, a new toy, something like this, and you're so excited and you're playing with it. You're so hungry, but you don't feel that hunger. It's the excitement. That's how the Lord was excited for her soul and for the souls of the people that were coming with her. Do I say that my food is my pleasure is to do the pleasure of the Father, is to do the will of the Father? That's something for us to meditate on. And he said to them, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Like you sow the seed and the harvest comes? The harvest is the second coming. And Jesus said that this is the time of harvest when he brings all the children, he gathers everyone from the 4 corners of the world. And he says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Harvest is the souls that God wants to gather around him and around his house. Now you know what excites the Lord? What excites him most is the coming of his children to him. You want to please God? You want to gladden the heart of your Father? It's with the return of those children to him. When you bring closer his children, that's when he's so excited. And then when he's so full, he says, you think that the harvest, the literal harvest, takes time, takes at least 4 months in order to grow. But the harvest for the kingdom of heaven doesn't take much time. As I said, you can get astray, you can go astray in so many years, but coming back takes no time. Harvest doesn't take time. Remember that Jesus said that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and pray the Lord of the harvest to bring laborers to his harvest. The harvest is the people. There is a lot to be done, but the laborers are few. There isn't anyone to send. Whom shall I send? God is crying for someone to send. And he said, "It's the harvest is ready. You don't need to wait for 4 months. It's ready. It's my work. God is the one who does everything. That's why St. Paul says it's not the one who seeds, who sows, or the one who waters, but God who brings the harvest, who brings the fruits. It's never the job of the servant to bring fruits. God is the one who brings the fruits, and we just reap the fruits. We didn't do anything with these fruits, lest anyone takes credit in that. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready white for harvest. What are the fields that are ready for harvest? It's the souls of the Samaritans. They are coming, they are ready, and they say that the Samaritans used to wear all white, this is like their national custom. So when they were coming, it's like a huge army of white people. So Jesus said, see, the white of the harvest is so white and it's ready to be reaped. And he says, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to eternal life. He said, I send you as laborers to just collect the harvest. But I promise you that you're going to get a reward. He wants to excite the hearts of the disciples, not for the leadership and not for the church and not for the organization, but for the souls, for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. It's an eternal reward. For both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Who is the one who sow? Some prophets, some people sow, and some people reap. But God is the one who brings the fruits. Like, for example, and that's actually very important and very interesting. Sometimes I take harvest, I gather, I reap the fruits of someone else. Another servant worked on someone. Someone come from a different church, and he has been taught, and God has been working his life, and he was so ready. And just one sermon, something I said brought him. I didn't seed the sow. It's someone else who threw the seed and watered it, and I just gather that. A lot of times we gather what we did not seed or water. For in this saying it is true, one sows and another reaps. One sows and another reaps. So you reap what you did not sow. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. You didn't labor for anything. I need laborer just to bring the harvest. But I did everything. And I actually sent the prophets to make these people ready. And I make sure that there is a seed and it's sown in the lives of people. And I just send you as a laborer to reap the harvest. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. You will take your reward for eternal life. But remember, someone sowed. And the reason why Jesus is saying that, so the one who seeds doesn't feel bad when he doesn't see fruits. A lot of times we throw the seeds and we seed and we water, but we don't see much fruits. Where is this coming from? It's actually normal. Maybe it's not the time. It's not the time of the harvest. It's not the time for this person to return or come back. But the time will come and may come in my days or the days of someone else. And it might happen here or might happen somewhere else. I've seen it so many times. So many people were here in this church and we have sown and watered the word of God and we did not see any change. And all of a sudden they go somewhere else and there is a change. There is something great happen. I can never forget this story of one of my little children in Sunday school. He was in fourth grade when I started teaching Sunday school. And he was a lost kid. And I tried to follow up as much as I can with him. I really worked hard to... his situation, his family situation was so sad, so poor, so miserable. It was just so tough for him, and that's why he was lost. And I tell you the truth, that everything I did with him, kind of lost hope. But when I was visiting a couple years after I left my church and immigrated, when I visited, I heard that he went to the seminary school and he wants to serve the Lord for the rest of his life. When and how and why, I don't know. But this is the life. That's why we shouldn't give up on someone. Should try always to water the seed, no matter what it is. No matter if we don't see anything. No matter if we don't see fruits. Actually, the strongest trees, you don't see fruits very quickly. It takes so much time to build a trunk and to build stronger branches to carry the big fruits. So let's labor for that. Labor for seeding and labor for the harvesting and for reaping that harvest, that we do knowing that we receive a reward from the Lord and our work in the Lord is not in vain whatsoever. I guess we'll stop here because the next one is a miracle. So we'll stop at verse 42, and next time we'll continue verse 43. So let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your thirst and your hunger, Lord, for us. Thank you because you taught us, Lord, how to be excited for the souls. How you love the souls, Lord, and love them coming to you. Give us, Lord, to rejoice in that. To rejoice over one soul coming, the same way heavens rejoices over one soul returning. Not to rejoice, Lord, over materialistic things. And not to labor, Lord, for things, but to labor for people and to labor for salvation of souls. Give us to know how thirsty and hungry you are for our souls and for the souls of people around us. We thank you for this word. And we thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for everyone here. Hear us, Lord, through the prayers and intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. When we pray thankfully, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not temptations, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. And now may the love of God the Father, and the grace of his only begotten Son, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.